Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Life for the believer is not a series of random events, but the working out of God's eternal purposes. You know, that's a kind of a common term that's used today, generally by younger people, but you know, wow, man, everything's so random, you know. And there are some seemingly random things that do occur, of course. But know this, there's nothing that's random.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, in a message titled, God's Good Work for Those Who Love Him. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
God is ceaselessly, energetically, purposefully active on our behalf, even when we can't see it. But thank God he gives us those occasions when it's all so clear. So, God is at work in our lives. Secondly, God is at work for the good of his people. God is at work for the good of his people. The thing that God's doing in your life, whatever it might be, is for good ultimately. Now again, sometimes it's hard to see this, isn't it? Sometimes it's difficult. I mean, here we're talking tonight and we're praying for a young man in his early 30s who's pastoring a church, who has a wife and two children, and he has brain cancer. It's like, wait a second. How is God working for good in this situation? Well, you know, right now we don't know. But remember what we talked about before. We know that God is working all things together for good. How do we know it? We know it by faith. We know it because of who God is. We know because of what he's already shown us. We know because of the track record and the history. So we must remember this. God is at work for the good of his people. He's at work for the good of his people. What God is doing in your life is good. And it's good for you. Even though right now it might not seem that way. Now, as I've said before, there have been things in my life that I just looked at and thought, I don't see how this can be good. And you know, let me clarify this. Not everything that comes along is good. And we look at it and go, okay, well, this must be a good thing because God said, you know, that everything's working together for good. No, there are plenty of bad things that come along. But the thing is, God is bigger than the bad things. He's greater than those things. And he's able to take even the bad things that come, and he's able to get us beyond that and do something even through those things. So God is at work in our lives. He is at work for the good of his people. He's doing something in you personally that is going to eternally benefit you. But he's doing something in you as well so that you might be a blessing to other people. You know, this is something we need to remember. The things that we go through are not simply for our own good or benefit, but the things we go through are designed by God to be a blessing and a benefit to other people. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort and the Father of mercies, who comforts us in all of our affliction, that we may be able to comfort others also." And Paul says, essentially, he says, you know, the reason we're able to minister to you and to comfort you and to encourage you and to help you through your trials is because we've been through them ourselves. And we know the comfort of God. So we can come along and say, listen, God is going to bring you comfort. He's going to bring you deliverance. He's going to bring you through this season. So God is at work in our lives. He's at work for the good of his people, you personally, people around you. But let me take it one step further. He's working in you for the good of his church. We belong to this universal body of Christ. It's an amazing thing how God works in us, and we don't even know what God is preparing us for. But you know, as we just go on with him and as we follow him and as we walk with him, suddenly we find ourselves in a situation, we just go, wow, Lord, this is amazing. You're doing something good, and you're doing it for your people, not just me or the people immediately next to me, but you had these other people in mind as well. Amazing stuff. I have to say, I don't want to embarrass Alipio, but when we were in Brazil, and Alipio spent about 11 years in Europe, and he spent almost 8 years in Portugal ministering there. And when he felt that God was calling him back here, but not sure ultimately where that was going to settle him, and he shared that with me, and I said, hey, we'll come and hang out at the Bible college for some time and teach some classes and all that, and think about Brazil. They speak Portuguese. You've been in Portugal. Think about Brazil. And he did. And he thought about it, and he prayed about it, and a couple of years have passed. But here's my point. When we were down there, and I was watching him interact with the people, it's like, Lord, this is amazing. It's like you've been preparing him all these years for this. It's so obvious. But we don't see that a lot of times. We can't see far enough out ahead, and we, you know, we're going through difficulties. We're going through times of you know, maybe we're dry spiritually, or we're not feeling like God's doing anything in our lives, or we can't see where he's taking us, and everything seems dim. But then suddenly you find yourself in a place and you're like, wow, this is amazing. This. And then you can look back and you can see all of this was preparatory for this time. And so God is at work for the good of his people. And then thirdly, God works for our good in all things. Now, again, I want to reiterate that point that I made a minute ago. All things aren't good. Let's not be mistaken about that. Bad things happen. Evil things happen. But here's the good news. God works despite these things. This is the greatness of our God. Like I said previously, God is able to take these things. Some things that happen to us are definitely bad things. But all that is negative in this life is seen to have a positive purpose in the execution of God's eternal plan. And here's the good news. Nothing is beyond the overruling, overriding scope of God's providence. And there's nothing beyond it. There's not one situation that's going to take God by surprise. There's not one case that's going to be too difficult for God to handle. There's not going to be one occurrence where God says, you know, I couldn't get that one to fit. You know, that was the one that stumped me. I just didn't know, how do I fit that into the overall picture of the good thing that I'm doing? There's not a thing like that. And again, I say that because I know that some of you, you're going through difficulties. You're going through hardship.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website, and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
I've talked to several ladies in this church over the years that have been abandoned by their husbands after 10, 20, 30 years of marriage. And mostly every one of them, amazingly, have held on to Jesus and onto their faith. But of course, they've all asked the question, how does this work together for good? I don't get it. Well, make no mistake about it. This isn't good. This is terrible. This is horrible. But God, he knows all of that. And he loves you so much. And he's got a plan, despite what that person might have done to you. And it happens to men as well as to women. It's not just women, men leaving their wives these days. It's wives leaving their husbands. And all of these kinds of things that happen that are bad things. And sometimes we misunderstand, so we think, well, Lord, you know, how is this good? It's not good. It's bad. Then how is it going to work out? It's going to work out because God is good. And God is greater than these bad things. And God is able, in the end, to overrule and to override, because this is who he is. And like I said previously, this is where faith comes in. This is where I just have to say, okay, I can't see the blessing that will come despite the situation, but by faith, I believe that it will come. I believe that God will bless. I believe that God will restore. I believe that God will heal. I believe that God will comfort. And he does. And many could testify that that has indeed been the case. So, fourthly, God is working in all things for good, remember, for those who love him. This is a necessary clarification. And again, I pointed this out previously. Paul is not expressing a general superficial optimism that everything tends to everybody's good in the end. This is a specific promise. This is the promise for the people of God. This is the promise for those who love God. You know, it's interesting. Most of the time in the Bible, we find references to God loving us. But on a few occasions, we find references the other direction, like we do right here, to those who love God. So who loves God? Well, the person who loves God, of course, is the person who's believed in the Son of God. That's how we show God that we love him. We accept his Son. We receive the gift of salvation that he's given. So for those that have done that, God is working in all things for good for them, those who love God. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ tonight, which I'm assuming most of you are, then know this. You are the recipient of this promise. This promise is given to you. It's not given to the world at large. It's not true for just anybody and everybody out there. It's true for you because you're a child of God. And just like it is in our own natural families, of course, although we might love other children and feel for them and have compassion and so forth, there's nothing like how we feel about our own children, right? And we don't show the love or, you know, make the efforts that we do for people in general, children in general. We do that specifically for our own kids. Well, this is the same thing. This is what God does for those who love him. He's taking those things. And so because we are his people, because we love him, we can, again, be confident in that. And then fifthly, we see here that God has called us with a purpose. There is a purpose behind all of this. Life for the believer is not a series of random events, but the working out of God's eternal purposes. You know, that's a kind of a common term that's used today, generally by younger people, but you know, wow, man, everything's so random, you know. And there are some seemingly random things that do occur, of course. But know this, there's nothing that's random. There's nothing that's just like, wow, that just happened. Not for us. Our life is not just a bunch of random events. Our lives are being guided according to God's purpose. So when something happens in our life, it's not random. It's not an accident. It's not something that just occurred. Wow. No, it's something that is part of this bigger plan. And of course, that's obviously true of those good things that happen. But even those not so good things, even those bad things. And we pointed out before, remember Joseph, all of those things that happened in his life that just seemed so bad, and they were bad. But God was using those things to bring Joseph to the place that he needed him to be at for the purpose that he had ordained him for, to save his family. I was talking to a friend the other day, and he was telling me about a series of events that took place in his ministry that were extremely negative events. And he was saying, man, this is amazing, you know. Just all of a sudden, kind of the hammer came down and some bad things happened. And he, you know, some ministry that he'd been engaged in for years was just sort of pulled out from under him. And he said, you know, it was one of those things. It's like, man, how could there be anything positive that could come out of this? But he said, the crazy thing was immediately God brought something else in to replace it. And then the very thing that God brought in to replace it ended up being the foundation for an even greater ministry adventure that he would embark on later. And he said to me these very words. He goes, man, it was like a Romans 8:28 thing. And I thought, I wish I would have known that before, because I could have used that in my message. So I had to come back and preach the same text again tonight so I could use that story. You know, when you're teaching, you say what you say, and then you get down and you go, I forgot to say this. Why didn't I say that? So this is really just my second try at doing a good job. So God has called us with a purpose. What are those purposes, or what is that purpose? Well, remember, ultimately, the purpose is to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's the ultimate purpose. And this is something that is so far beyond anything that we can grasp. This is the ultimate glorification. We're going to be made like the Son of God. I mean, I think if we even had the slightest idea what that meant, we probably couldn't be able to contain ourselves. We wouldn't be able to contain ourselves. We read it over that whom he did foreknow, he did predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, the next verse, and like, oh, that's great. But if we really understood what that meant. But that's where it's all headed. And all of these things in life are leading us toward that. You see, as we've said before, these things that occur in this life are preparatory for the next life, which is the life that counts, because it's forever. So, ultimately, to be conformed to the image of Christ, but presently, we are called to glorify him through a life of worship and service. So, working all things together for good, for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose, the eternal purpose, conformity to the image of Christ, but the present purpose, a life of worship and service. That's our present purpose. And of course, that will play itself out in a variety of different ways in each of our lives individually. God calls us all to live lives of worship and service to him. Worship is a life that's dedicated to him, totally and completely. And of course, service is to flow from that. But God has a purpose. Purpose is so important. There's tons of people all around us today who have no idea what their purpose for living is. They don't have the slightest idea that there's any purpose to their life. They just are going about and it's purposelessness as far as they're concerned. And they're miserable and they're frustrated and they're empty. And they're wondering, man, isn't there something more to life? And the answer is yes, there's something more to life. There's God's purpose. The purpose of knowing him, worshiping him, serving him. This is what gives life meaning. This is why people who don't know Christ live lives of emptiness. Because they were created to know God, to worship God, and to serve God, but they're not doing that. So their lives are empty. But this is what God has purposed us for presently, to glorify him through lives of worship and service. You know what? Just a word of encouragement. Man, get involved in serving the Lord actively, specifically. If you're not doing something that you can say, yeah, you know, this is what I'm doing in service to the Lord, get get yourself involved in something. Of course, pray about it. Ask the Lord to lead you and to open a door. He wants us serving him. That's part of giving us purpose in our lives. It gives us a reason to get up in the morning. It gives us a reason to keep going through difficult times because we know, you know, I'm doing something for the Lord. I have a friend who's battled with illness for years, and he keeps going on in the ministry. And one time I asked him, why do you keep going? And then before he could even answer, I said, I know the answer. You don't even have to answer me. You keep going because it gives you purpose. And it's the thing that gives you the ability to get up and go when normally you wouldn't be able to get up and go. You think, you know, I'm going to go do this for the Lord, and it strengthens you. So God's called us with a purpose, and that purpose is serving him. And so those are the five things that we wanted to touch on here. And as we close, let me just remind you of this. Jesus is the ultimate example of the truth of Romans 8:28. We see this exemplified ultimately in Jesus Christ himself. The most heinous, the most wicked act ever perpetrated by men and devils was the murder of the Son of God. That was the most evil thing that has ever occurred in the history of the human race. The murder of the Son of God. Yet, it was through that evil act that God provided atonement for the sins of the world and a way of salvation for all who would believe. So if you ever are strongly tempted to doubt the truth of Romans 8:28, we know that for those who love God, all things are working together. All things are working together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. If we're tempted to doubt that, go back to the cross and look at the cross. Peter says it in this way. He says, as he's speaking to the very men who crucified Jesus, he says, you took him. And by wicked hands, you crucified him and you slew him. But this was all according to the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. God knew they would do it, and God allowed them to do it, but he did it for the greater purpose of saving us. So when bad things happen to us, when evil things come our way, when unexplainable difficulties challenge us, and when we face things that we just can't understand, how could this, don't ask the question, how could this particular thing end up being a good thing? The thing itself is not a good thing, but God is good. And because God is good, and because he loves you, and because he's all wise and he's all powerful, he's able to take even those bad things, like those wicked men crucifying Christ, and he's able to bring the salvation of humanity out of that. He's able to bring something glorious out of your circumstance as well.
Here's a few words from Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl about this month's Back to Basics resource.
So Cheryl, for this month, we are going to offer a book that you wrote. And this book is called When a Woman Lets Go of the Lies. And the subtitle is Discovering the Truth About Who You Are in God's Eyes. Tell us real quickly about this book.
Well, you know, I found that women hear lies constantly. And some of those lies we actually believe. And we've allowed those lies to intimidate, to form us, and to form how we feel and about ourselves and how we relate to others. And God wants to set us free from those lies, that we might hear from him the truth, that he loves us, that he died for us, that he is for us, that he's going to use us for glory. And when we believe the truth and hear the truth, we're set free to love each other and to live a really exciting life through Jesus Christ.
So, all right, this is our book offer for the month. So, especially ladies, you want to check this out, and it's going to be a blessing.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for stopping by the studios and sharing about this month's resource. You can order Cheryl's book by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of the book, When a Woman Lets Go of the Lies, and then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you Cheryl's book, When a Woman Lets Go of the Lies. We appreciate your generous support to this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.